Hello. I'm going to try to mimic Marion Heard and go like this. I love that. Oh, it worked. Wonderful. Well, hello. My name is Jackie Glenn. And I'm the Vice President and Global Chief Diversity Officer at EMC Corporation. We are absolutely delighted to be here, all 850 of us. You could give yourself a round of applause, EMC lady. And I have the pleasure of introducing one of my very favorite people, Judy Smith. All right, so I'm going to do, when I go like that, you can only do that, right? You guys got it this morning. Because I want to save a lot of time so we can ask Judy a lot of stuff. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to introduce Judy at another conference. And since then, I have been thrilled to introduce her to august audiences like this one on at least two or more occasions. I am no less delighted to introduce her today to this audience. Judy Hales has the concierge, or the connoisseur. Edwin, I got that one, the connoisseur. Okay, you know she'll get me if I don't say it right, of crisis management, and has worked as an advisor for a host of high-profile clients, as well as counselor for Fortune 500 corporations. She earns her BS degree in public relations from Boston University, right here, and graduated from the American University Washington College of Law, where she was the first African-American woman to serve as executive editor for the Law Review. I deserve a round. She continued to break ground as the Vice President of Corporate Communication at NBC, and in 1991 joined the White House with her appointment as Special Assistant and Deputy Press Secretary to President George H. Bush. She is an experienced and sought-after commentator as a crisis management expert and frequently appears on major television networks, including CNN, MSNBC, NBC, Fox News, ABC, and CBS. While Judy working crisis management is very real, it is her perspective and turnaround attitude that has inspired the Shonda Rhimes hit TV drama Scandal, which I am certain most of us in the room set our calendars for on Thursday evening. In addition to having her work be an inspiration for this popular television series, Judy is also co-executive producer. She is also an author of the book Good Self, Bad Self. It is yet again, Judy, yet again, my distinct honor to welcome Judy to the stage. Give her a round of applause.
Yet again.
You guys should be happy she didn't go through that three-page bio. Lord. Well, you know what? Before we get started, if you guys could just, like, stand up.
No. Give
this woman a round of applause. You know what? It's her birthday.
It was yesterday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
It was yesterday.
I know.
It was yesterday.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, let's see. I think we have about an hour together. What would you guys like to talk about?
Why don't I do this? I'm going to talk maybe for about, 10 or 15 minutes. And then Miss Jackie's going to grill me for another 10 minutes. And then I'll take whatever questions you guys have. How about that? Actually, I got to put on my glasses because I've had 4 hours of sleep and I won't be able to see. So how many actually watch the show? Anybody? Got a lot of gladiators in here, huh? All right, so let me do some show stuff. How about that? We'll go to the easy stuff, then we'll get serious. So 11 million people watch, generally speaking, every Thursday, which is like insane, crazy. But much thanks to all of you because you made it a success. It's because you watch it and support it that the show is a success. So thank you very much for that. Let me see, because I know that some of you who don't know me will ask me this question during our question and answer. So I'm going to take the liberty of getting out like the three top questions that you're going to ask me. Okay. First one, no sex with the president. Did not. And in fact, I don't know if you, I'll tell you this story, but I don't know if you heard it. Oprah, when we went on Oprah to talk about the show, she had asked me about this. You know, how did I take the news when we're talking about sex with the president? So Shonda had called me up and said, you know, I'm thinking about this storyline, you know, where I want you to be close with the president. And I'm saying, well, what does that really mean? I said, I talk to him about once a month. I check on him. And she said, no, I'm thinking about sex. I'm like, what, the president? She said, yeah. So as any good communicator would, right, you want to try to control the message, right, the narrative. So I immediately, after I pulled myself together, immediately went out and called the president. And I talked to Gene. I said, Gene, I said, I was wondering if I could have a few minutes with him. You know, I just need to tell him about this show. She said, oh, he already knows about it. Scandal? I said, yes. She said, oh, he knows about it. She said, he's so excited. He's so proud of you. He can't wait to get to see the show. And I'm sinking. I'm like, ah. I said, well, tell him to call me. I just need like 2 minutes, just kind of need one-on-one time with him. So I'm on a phone doing my day job, you know, talking about a crisis, and there's about 7 people on the phone. And so I see like the Texas number come up, and I'm like, God, I can't get the phone. And I said, okay, when it's over. So I said, well, let me check the message. And I'm thinking that maybe he might tell me like a good time to call just so I could let him know about this. So I checked the message, and the message said, love you, want you, you broke up with me. And by the way, this is the former leader of the free world, call me. So I called him up. I said, see, this is why I called you in the first place. You need talking points. You need some talking points. So he said, I'm going to confirm the affair. I'm like, there's no affair. There was no affair. There's nothing to confirm. He said, look, I've got young people working in my office now, and they tell me that I have to stay in the know, that, you know, I have to try to be relevant. You know, I have a reputation. I'm like, a reputation? You're 90. What reputation? I said, look now, I said, if you don't agree to follow these talking points, I'm going to have to call your boss. Now, how many of y'all are married? So y'all know what I'm talking about. I said, I'm going to have to call Barbara. So you need to stay to these talking points. He said, really? I said, yes. You're just going to be a troublemaker. He said, I'm trying to stay in the news. I said, you're the former president. You are always going to be relevant. So anyway, he did stick to the talking points, thank God, and didn't confirm any affair that did not exist. So that was good. President, let's see. What else? Huck. We know Huck. Wonderful investigator. So in my company, Smith & Company, we work with investigators, we work with attorneys, and we work with specialists. We do work with investigators, and I do love Huck and love the character that plays Huck, but in my real job, I don't really encourage my investigators to beat people to death to get information. So I want to clarify that. And then also, too, as was mentioned, You know, I worked really hard for my law degree. I worked during the day and from 8 to 6, 8 to 5:30, and I went to law school 4 nights a week from 6 to 10. So, you know, I value that bar license. So, generally speaking, I don't encourage my staff to move dead bodies from crime scenes. I'm just saying. Because I like that bar license. So really, seriously, thank you guys for having me here. Appreciate it. Appreciate you guys supporting the show. Let me talk a little bit about my work, and then I think I got to get grilled a little bit. I just want to make sure I save enough time for you guys. So let me quickly tell you about a little bit about my path and the work that I do. One of the things that I would say to all of you about your work and about things that are important to you, or really sort of three key things, is number one, being passionate about what you do. I don't care what it is. For me, part of the reason why I feel that I am good about what I do is that I love it so much and I'm really, really passionate about it. The second thing that I would say is that my greatest, I would say, work path has come when I have stepped out of my comfort zone. The show is one key example. I mean, like, what are the odds? What are the odds of a show being inspired by your life? Who does that? I mean, that's kind of craziness. But most of the path that I have taken has really been out of my comfort zone in things that have been so unexpected. Two very quick examples. When I got out of law school, I was all set to go to a firm called Rogers & Wells. You guys may have heard this because I had spoken about this before. And it was a big mucky-muck firm, as my mom would say, in New York. And I was so excited because they had selected just a few summer associates to come full-time. So I'm thinking, that's great. I'm excited. I was really wanted to go into litigation. And so like any wonderful good person who gets a big fat sign-in bonus to come to a law firm, I immediately spent the sign-in bonus. And I got my apartment in New York. And so I was all ready to come to New York. And right around, I was supposed to start in September, and right around 2-3 days before I was supposed to go to New York, my girlfriend said, why don't you come have lunch with me? I'm working as a human resource person, and this, some of you may be too young to remember this, but with an investigation, the Iran-Contra investigation. It was when President Reagan got in trouble for trading arms for hostages. So I said, oh, sure. I said, do I have to dress up? She said, no. I said, great, great. I said, I'm here for 3 days. I'm excited. I'm just kind of kicking back. I remember the day because I was trying to look like my version of cool, which at that time it meant I had a 69, which I still have, 69 yellow convertible Volkswagen. I wore my yellow neon tennis shoes to match the yellow convertible Volkswagen. And I had jeans on and I had a yellow t-shirt. So I was ready. So I come in and Frances and I are having lunch together. And, you know, she said, you excited? I said, yes. And she said, well, tell me what you think about what we're doing here. And I said, she said, how do you think we're doing in communications? I said, well, you know, I looked at it ahead of time and I said, well, y'all kind of suck. I said, you're not really doing a good job. I don't think the messages are clear. The narrative isn't great. It's not transparent. And she said, well, yeah. I said, yeah. And so the next thing I know, two or three attorneys are coming in. I'm sitting there telling them that, no, I think you should do this. I think you should do that. And, you know, I had a great lunch. I kissed Frances, give her a hug, tell her I see when I get back from New York. So the next day, as I'm packing, I get a call from Judge Walsh, who's head of the independent investigation. And he said, Ms. Smith, I hear that you think that our communication sucks. So I immediately go into my communication mode. Sir, I think those words were too strong. I don't recall those being my exact words. He said, no, come in and talk to me about it. So I immediately called Francis. I'm like, oh, God, Francis, I got you fired. You're going to get in trouble. Judge Walsh called me. She said, no, go in and talk to him. I think he just wants to talk to you. I said, yeah. She said, yeah, don't worry about it. It was good. I said, okay. So I'm going in. I'm talking to Judge Walsh. I get in his office, and he says, so tell me why I suck. I said, please, sir, let's not use that word. I said, my only point was that I think that you could do a better job at communicating your messages, and this is what I think. He said, oh, that's great, that's great. He said, I want to hire you. I said, well, sir, I have a job. I'm actually leaving tomorrow. I'm going to a firm in New York. It's called Rogers and Wells. So he said, you mean Bill's firm? I said, well, who's Bill? He said, Bill Rogers. I said, sir, I was a summer associate. I don't know Bill. I have not met Bill. He said, let me just call Bill so we can work this out. I'm like, do not call Bill. I am like sinking into the seat. He said, no, we go way back. So he gets Bill on the phone. I sweat must have been poured off me. I'm freaking out. So he says, Bill, this is Larry. I've got this wonderful woman in my office. Her name is Judy Smith. And she tells me that she's supposed to come and work for you starting tomorrow. And he said, you know what? I really need her more than you need her. Because scandals don't happen that often in Washington. Huh? And so I'm sure right about then Bill is like, who the heck is Judy Smith? So he's probably on some computer looking, trying to figure out. And so Bill says, Larry, I am so sorry. I would like to accommodate you, but we are expecting her here tomorrow. She graduated at the top of her class. She's law review. She's going to start at our litigation department. I am so sorry. We need her. So I'm not really sure what happened here. All I know is that Larry said, Bill, remember that Johnson case back in 1970-something? And he said, yes. All of a sudden, the phone was handed to me. My good friend Bill said, Judy, you take that job. I think Larry is right. I think that job would be good for you because you can learn a lot about scandals in Washington. And I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. I said, well, do I have to give back the money? I spent the signing bonus. He said, no. I said, okay. I said, well, you know, I already put down the deposit on my apartment that I'm supposed to be in tomorrow. He said, what's your address, Judy? I said, it's West 76th Street between Riverside and the West End, 172. He said, Lucy, check this address. He's yelling at the secretary. Lucy says, oh, yeah, we represent them. He said, don't worry about it. I'll get your security deposit sent back to you. And he said, and when you get finished that little scandal thing with Larry, come on back to me because I'm going to keep your job open for you. So I tell you that to say that all of a sudden, my life had changed. It wasn't part of any plan. It wasn't part of any big strategy, which strategies are important. Now, I'm not, as my kids would say, I'm not poo-pooing that. That's important. But it was an opportunity that I was prepared for. And so I just said, well, it's my first job out of law school. I don't really think I know what I'm doing, but somebody thinks that. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, instead of being in New York, I'm in Washington sitting across Poindexter or somebody asking questions like I know what I'm talking about. So it completely, completely changed. Another example in terms of stepping out of your comfort zone is really how I got the job at the White House. I took a job prior to the White House at the U.S. Attorney's Office. I don't know if you guys remember. He actually just passed. It was a case involving the former mayor of D.C., the District of Columbia, Mayor Barry. So we had handled that case. For you don't remember, it involved a wire, a hotel room, crack, and sex. So all of that is sort of a deadly combination. In any event, I was a little hesitant, probably like most of you sometimes, about taking that job because I didn't think it made sense financially. You know, I thought that I would not be able to make enough money. I said, oh God, I don't want to take that job. And I, you know, after I thought about it and a little pressure, I decided to take it. And lo and behold, you know, the first big case that I work on is the case involving Marion Barry. So at that time, Marlon Fitzwater, who was President Bush's press secretary, the dad, had just gotten my name as a reference, as a referral, because he was looking for someone to be the deputy press secretary because Marlon was planning to leave after the president got reelected. So he saw me as well on TV talking to the press about what? The Barry case, a job that I wasn't even going to take because I didn't think I was getting paid enough money. And so when Marlon called me, I, of course, thought it was a crazy, insane joke and hung up on the man at least twice, like, sure, you're Marlon Fitzwater, sure. And he said, no, really, I want to offer you a job. I want you to come in. So I go in and talk to Marlon. He said, you know, can you come in and meet the president? Okay. So I come in and I interview with the president. And he said, Marlon, you know, I like her, but I'm a little short of time. Judy, do you think you can hang out with me for the rest of the day? And I'm thinking, like, what am I going to do? Tell the president, like, I'm booked for the rest of the day? I'm like, sure. So he said, you know, I've got to go to three cities. And I'm like, okay. And so all of a sudden, I'm rolling with the president out to get on Marine One, like trying to act like it's not a big thing. And then Air Force One, my God. And then we talk, you know, for the whole day. And we get back at midnight. And I said, so, like, I want to make sure you and Marlon understand. So you guys know I didn't give any money because we don't have anybody in our family. I said, and I don't really know anybody who knows anybody who knows anybody. I just want to make sure that's all clear because it's a lot of Smiths. People can get confused. I mean, they can get confused. And he said, no, we got the right Judy Smith. I said, okay. He said, can you start in a week? Yeah, I can start in a week. That's how I got the job at the White House. So, you know, it wasn't as if, to my point of stepping out of your comfort zone, that any of that was planned. It just honestly happened. And extremely, extremely grateful for that. So I think I'm going to stop talking. Did I eat up your time?
No.
No? Okay. All right. So
I have some questions.
All right. Let's do that. And then I'll take you guys' questions.
Okay.
All right? Okay. All right. So, okay, we got to give 20 minutes for questions. What side do you want?
That's on the other chair.
Okay.
Okay. So don't you guys want to ask her some questions? All righty. Here we go. Let me see if I can get up here.
Love that color.
Thank you. All right, so I'm getting right on it. And I don't want long-winded answers.
Okay, I'm going to go for it.
We only have a little bit of time.
Okay.
So,
that's good. Notice how she framed that already?
Yeah. How should women think about their personal brand at work?
That is a good question. All right, because we're going quick because we want to save you guys questions. You need to think about that every single day of your life, except for maybe when you're not working. But what you want to do is define your personal brand ahead of time. So that for me, what I feel like my personal brand is, I hope, is one that people think that I'm good at what I do, mm-hmm. that I carry on my work with a level of integrity, mm-hmm. and that is value-centric. Mm-hmm. So what I would encourage you to do, I'm sorry, what's your name? I'm just picking on you. Jasmine?
Yes.
Jasmine. Okay. So anybody here know Jasmine? Okay. So Jasmine, this is an exercise. I actually want you guys to do this. So Jasmine, stand up so everybody can see you. So
is it Jasmine or Yasmine?
Jasmine or Jasmine?
Jasmine.
Yes. Yasmine. Okay, so yes. Jasmine, what are the three things, if I asked your buddy sitting right here, what's your brand at work? What are the three things somebody would say about you, your work?
Literally the same three things you just said.
Okay.
That I really care about my city. Mm-hmm. So I work in CSR in Boston.
Okay.
That I'm good at my job.
Mm-hmm.
And that I take integrity and transparency really seriously.
Okay. Now, I'm not going to raise the friends who know. Raise your hand. Okay. So we're not going to put any of them on the spot. But if those three things didn't match up with what Jasmine just said, then you need to rethink about your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you want to make sure that it aligns with what you are trying to convey. So you really want to think about that, both your brand and your reputation. Okay, I'm
going quick. That was a little long. But
I know.
If a woman is facing a crisis at work, and actually we're at a woman conference, so I'm really making it related to us. I know there's a few good men in the room, but like a shout out to Dan there. If a woman is facing a crisis at work, how should she handle it? And I'll elaborate a little bit more. You know, sometimes we are at work and things are not going as, you know, the way we would like it, or a situation is a little tough on you at work, and people will pass you and say how you're doing, and you're so tempted to start whining and mourning. Anybody do it. I used to do it. And, you know, poor me, and the sky's falling down. And sometimes there is a bit of element to that that's mm-hmm. true. But what advice you would give someone if they're facing a crisis or they're just having a bad stint at work? You know,
I think part of it, I mean, without knowing the particular crisis, I think part of it really is trying to examine how you got there in the first place,
mm-hmm.
right? So use two quick ones. If you are frustrated in your job because you haven't gotten a raise, you need to think about what have I done or what have I not done to get to that point. That would be number one. I think number two as well, to your point, I am not sort of big on sharing woes at work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you have a problem or issue at work, you want to pinpoint what the issue is and then look at how you got there and then map out some, I think, paths in terms of how to address it and then weigh the pros and cons of it. I'm big on lists and really writing things down to figure that out.
Okay. Yeah. What is the first piece of advice you would give to a client during a crisis?
Oh, this is the thinning thing. Tell the truth. I mean, I that sounds very basic, but honestly, I can't tell you how many people struggle with that. Because it's a hard thing, a work crisis that happened. So I get a call from, what's your name?
Allison.
Allison called me yesterday. And Allison, you know, has this really hot boyfriend. Stand up, Allison, so everybody can see Allison. Allison has this hot boyfriend. Are you married?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Hot husband. Let's go, hubby.
Yeah, the red sun.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So Allison's husband is hot. So she likes to sit. And this is like a true problem. I just did this yesterday. So Allison likes to do, you know, nice little pictures. Just for him, of course. So she has this nice little picture of her, you know, just a few select items here and there. And her husband's name is the exact same first name of her boss. So she makes the mistake of sending that nice photo to her boss. This is true. And so the person who called me did not call the boss for 5 days because she was afraid to tell the truth, and she was paralyzed of like what he was going to do, what he was going to say. So my point to her was, really, really, 5 days the boss has been looking at sorts of things, and you didn't say, let me go into his office, let me call and say, I'm so sorry. So by the time that she actually got the nerve to go handle that situation, it wasn't just her boss, the whole office. You know how sometimes you can walk and you feel like somebody's talking about you? Mm-hmm. She was walking, people were like, yeah, I mean, oh my God, that was 5 days late. So you got to deal with, tell the truth, you got to deal with things head on. Right?
Okay. Have you, have there ever been a crisis that, with a client that you thought, oh, I'm not taking this, I can't handle this, this is too hard to handle?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of cases that we don't take, honestly, because I don't want to do them.
For instance?
Let me just think of one. I wouldn't do, I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a case involving Lacey Peterson. It was this woman who was pregnant, and her husband was convicted of killing her and her unborn child. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do Casey Anthony, those kinds of cases. Mm-mm. And that, for me, is one of the plus sides of having your own company, because I can get to say no to that.
What is the best piece of advice you were ever given?
Oh, God.
Other than telling the truth.
From my mom, actually. And I'm just thinking about her. She's passed. But my mom always told me from day one is to be who you are. Mm-hmm. And understand that that is enough. It is actually more than enough. So we don't have to try to be anybody else. We just need to be who we are and focus on being that best person.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
All right. Every once in a while, I'll come up with something.
So I know you guys are waiting for me to start talking about scandal, so let me get there.
Okay.
Is scandal in real life? Because I know we're watching it.
Yes.
We DVR it, you know, when we're traveling. It's been a great year for scandal. Is crisis management really like that?
It's not. I mean, look, you guys.
And I know there are people in the audience who probably.
Things
happen there, like really.
Right. Well, look, I mean, you guys see me how I look. This took a lot of effort, just this little makeup here. Let me be clear about that. So I don't run around in my office looking fabulous every single day. As a matter of fact, I have a gladiator with me. Where's Jamie? Jamie's our, well, not so new gladiator anyway, but Jamie's been with us for a while. She will attest to this doesn't happen for me every single day. But what is, to me, important about the show is that the person that you see on screen is a strong woman who is not afraid to live in her truth about being good at what she does. I think that's important. And I think the other thing that was important for me is that person had to be compassionate about her clients and helping them and non-judgmental and being passionate about her work. So, no, do I move dead bodies from crime scenes? I don't do that. Do we have a committee that decides our cases? I mean, yes, I'll ask Jamie, I'll ask people in the office, but at the end of the day, I say either yes or no. Our offices probably look better than the offices on the TV. Is that probably right, Jamie? our offices are not as hip, probably. Yeah, they're not as hip. But yeah, I mean, those, you know, look, I will say this, and I'll pop down and take some questions, is I never knew, is that our last one?
No, I have a wild card. Well,
oh, you have a wild card?
Mm-hmm, another one.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm talking, I'm going to move.
Yeah.
I never realized, because I didn't know anything about television, how important sex was at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I mean, honestly, you have to have sex on television. I mean, not have to, but if you're in a certain time slot, you do. Okay, so I'm going to take your wild card, and I'm going to come here?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
So the wild card is, yes. And it's really not about scandal, but
okay.
I think not everyone in the audience know that you are a working mom.
Oh, God, yes.
And a mom of big boys.
These kids are going to be the death of me.
Yeah, so tell us as working moms in the audience, how do you manage that? And over the years, we have some young working moms in the audience. How have you balanced being a professional and being a working
mom? Okay, that's a good question. How many are actually moms here? Okay, all right. I think this is with anything, though. I am not a big fan of balance. That's just my own personal thing. I don't know who came up with that. I know some people believe in it, but I don't. And let me tell you the reason why, because I think that each day we just do the best that we can with our kids. I have two grown sons, and like with anything, I mean, let me just say this. They're grown, but they're not really grown because I'm still paying. Somebody once told me that the test is whether or not they're still on your cell phone plan. I checked that. Both of those young men are still on my cell phone plan. So, I mean, look, you just do the very best you can. Early on for me, I made a decision that everything else was going to fall around that. Right? So, to me, the reason why I say I don't believe in balance, for me, it's boundaries. So, you got to decide what is the most important thing for you. Two or three really quick examples. I have never missed a parent-teachers meeting. I remember flying back from Switzerland for a parent-teachers meeting. That's important to me. It's not a perfect kind of thing. We went to, we went to Saudi Arabia. We represented Saudi Arabia after 9/11. That's public, no big secret. And so I went to Saudi Arabia with Barbara Walters. And we're laughing and joking because, you know, I travel very light. And so I, of course, showed up with a little small duffel. Miss Walter showed up with a 7-piece matching luggage kind of thing. And so every time Barbara sees me, she always introduces me and points out about how light I travel. So anyway, so we're in Saudi Arabia. And we're in the palace, and we're talking to the head of the country about the interview, right? And so we're working out, you know, what issues we could talk about, what are the, questions, what can we talk about, what's off limits. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, my God, today is snack mom. I'm snack mom day. My son has practice. I'm like, oh, God, Judy, you know, I'm like, it's like all of you. We got a little list. We check them off. I'm thinking, oh, heck, what am I going to do? I mean, how bad is that? So I step out. Excuse me, Your Highness. Say I got to go to the restroom. So the guard is, you know, escort me to the restroom. And I always keep my phone in my pocket, always. So I'm in the restroom, in the palace. Lucy, Cody's practice is happening. It's going to be in about 3 hours. Can you do snacks for me? I said, I need you to get the juicies, you know, the kind with the little sticks. And I said, and I get cookies too. I said, but I get the sugar-free ones. And I transfer them in the sugar bag, but they don't know it. Can you do that? And can you get them to the practice for me in time? She said, yes. I said, oh, God, thank you, Lucy. I don't want to be a bad mom. Thank you. I go back in the palace. Yes, no, that, I agree. That's a good question. So you just do what you have to do. I'll tell you one other story, and I come to answer some of your questions. So my other younger son, he loves basketball. And I remember I got, which I friggin' said I wasn't going to do, drive a minivan. Like, how did I get there? So it was a blue minivan with the, like, the sliding door thing. And that's the reason why they won it, I'm sure, because they thought it was cool. And so we represented, give me a name of a country.
Uganda.
Uganda. So we represented the president of Uganda. And so I was driving my wonderful son, Cody, in the minivan, and it was the championship basketball game. So I'm driving, and I get a call. The phone rings from the president of Uganda. And he said, "Oh, Miss Smith, Judy, I'm so sorry I caught you. We're in the middle of an attempted coup." I'm like, "Oh, my God." I said, "Is the palace secure? Is anybody dead? You know, we need to get a statement out." And my wonderful son says, "Uh-uh, no. There's no coup today, you promised. No work, it's a championship basketball game." I mean, every parent's nightmare. I said, "Shh, shh." And so the president heard him. And he said, "Who's that?" I said, "I'm sorry, Mr. President. That's my son, Cody." He said, "Oh, did I catch you at a bad time?" I said, "Well, I was just taking my son to the championship basketball game." He said, "Let me talk to him." Well, I looked at Cody. I said, "You say one thing." So I give the phone to Cody. And Cody said, "Why does this coup thing have to happen today?" And so the president says, "Cody, I wish the coup thing didn't happen today or any other day, but I'm only going to need your mom for about 10 or 15 minutes." And so he said, "Well, how long is that? It's going to be long?" He said, "No." And he said, "This is when you know that you've, like, raised your kids." He said, "Well, what do I get?" Lord. He said, "Well, I'm going to send you some candy by FedEx." And then Cody said, "Well, Mom, can we go to FedEx tomorrow to get the candy the president's going to send me?" I said, "Yes, Cody, please give me back the phone." So I apologized to the president for my son negotiating for some candy. And then I continue to, you know, dictate the statement. I get to the game. Cody's in the game. I'm sitting in the front row like any good mom. Yay, 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 2 points. Now, the second he gets benched, now, I will say there was a little hint of, "Okay, great, great, he's benched." So I go behind the bleachers. Y'all probably all been there somewhere on the phone. "What's going on? It's about to a statement run across the wire. Da, 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 da. Yep, yep, okay, great, great, great. Go back. I'm at the game." And I'm back in the game. All right, let me take some of you guys' questions. Yes.
In the transition with Larry and Bill,
yes,
you said that it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you believe a little bit that the universe put you in that direction because that's kind of where you wanted to go?
Oh, heck yeah! I mean, I'm a big believer in that. I think we end up where we are supposed to be. I do think, though, as well, that we all need to think about, if you guys haven't, but making sure that you are co-creators of your life, right? Because that is important. You know, so many people, and I don't want this to come across as flip, you know, say that I'm asking for this. I am visualizing this. I'm like, yep, that's great. I support that. But life requires action too. Right? We can't just sort of think about things. So in answer to your question, oh, absolutely, absolutely. I met this woman at a book signing, and we didn't have time here, but, you know, I went through the last 5 things that I've done. They have all been like that, all been like that. And she said, "Oh, that's not a coincidence. You're right where you need to be." And I'm like, amen to that. Yes.
Right here.
Yes. Yeah.
So what would you tell to a communications or public relations professional who really wants to be the best in the field? Like, what advice would you give?
2 things. One, I would say, and I would say this to everyone because I want to give applicable advice here, is don't worry about anybody else. Focus on you being the best that you can be. You know, a lot of times people ask about you know, the struggles and things that I've gone through to sort of get to where I am. And part of it is focusing on you being the best, the best person that you can be. There is a, it's on, Jamie, is it on LinkedIn? There was something I wrote on LinkedIn. You should, if you have time, you should read it. It's about the worst job in hell I've ever had in my entire life. But it turned out to be the best job because I learned about excellence and focusing on excellence for me, not worried about what everybody else was doing. Communications, the best thing you want to do is to get a good broad background in communications. Questions, how are we doing? Yes. And I'm going to come over there, too. Yeah.
First of all, big fan. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you've taken risks in your life and your career. Mm-hmm. Do you have any examples of maybe a risk gone bad or any advice on how to handle a risk gone bad?
Mm-hmm. Oh, look, there is always, I'm trying to think of one, there's always going to be, when you take risks, it's just that. It's a risk. So I think that you want to take the best calculated risk that you can. It may not turn out the way that you want it to be, but the thing about taking risk, and I sort of figured this out after two or three times, is the success in taking a risk is not, it's not if you end up to where you want to be when you take the risk, it is just taking it. That, to me, is how I define success. Just starting my own business. How risky was that? I didn't have a plan. God knows I didn't have that. I didn't have a strategy, right? But just the act, the simple act of taking the risk, that's success right there. That really, truly is. And I think that sometimes we don't look at it like that. We look at it at the end result. And so that's not where my head is. I'm from, let's see where we just actually doing it. Yeah. Risk gone bad. There was probably maybe one or two clients that were risky. And, you know, we managed to get out of it. Yeah. How are we doing? Questions. Right here, and then I'm going to come around there. Yes, ma'am.
So I just need to say from the back,
yes.
You very much resemble Mama Pope.
I remind you of who?
You resemble Mama Pope.
Oh, on TV?
Yes. But I was just curious, could you speak to some challenges as just being a woman and being a black woman mm-hmm. in the field?
Yep. I'm going to speak to that as I'm walking around the other side. I think part, for me, it goes back to, it's the reason why I said that I think that if we spend, first of all, the challenges of being a woman and the challenges of being an African-American woman, they're all real. We're not making them up, you know what I mean? It's real. Sometimes the, you know, men get promotions over women, we're making less money, all of that stuff is real. What I have tried to do is deal with it, but not let it distract me in a way that I am spending all of my time thinking about, oh God, I hate my job. This guy got the raise. I didn't. And you spend 8 months focusing on that while not focusing on your work, and then your work goes down, right? So to the point over there is, focus on you. Let that always be the focus. I don't try to judge myself by other people. And so I think in terms of the challenges, yes, if I think that someone has said something or done something that's, you know, inappropriate, yes, I confront them head on. I'm sort of not the kind of, she could probably tell, a mousy kind of gal, but I just don't think that has to be the vein of where we exist. I'm going to come back to you, and I'm going to go right here. Yes?
What are the tools?
Oh, my gosh, you got to wrote down.
What are the tools
yes.
that
a woman or a person can use to repair reputational damage that has happened from a workplace issue or matter?
That's a good question. I think, first of all, I don't know if it's possible, but actually, I did this last night. As you can tell, work is always work. So I got a call last night from a woman who is leaving a company, and she went to tell her boss, and then, you know, boss over boss, and they thought that they had worked something out. And so she called to tell me that what she thought she had worked out, that they had all changed. And so I was shocked when she told me that. And I said, look, I said, so do you want an honest conversation or you want a little sugar coating on this? She said, no, tell me honestly. I said, what planet are you living on? Why would you even enter into a discussion about a separation agreement without some legal help? That would be number one. What made me think of that example is I said, so what are they going to say about you when you leave? Do we have that worked out? Do we have agreed upon statement? Do we have references? Or what are they going to say with references? So if you somehow have had a problem with work and you are trying to repair or protect your reputation, I think, number one, you want to make sure if you know that somebody is going to say something about you that is unpopular or not positive, you want to make sure that you have some references to counter that. But more importantly, you want to have an answer already planned for that, right? Not something that you walk into some place and you're making up something on the spot. But, you know, the reason why I left that job was because of A, B, C, and D. So you want to have whatever message points, I think, ahead of time. I think that is critical. And the other thing is, we said this earlier, but the truth is really important. Even though you have those three or four people that are references, it's a small world now. People are going to be calling other people that are not on the list to check. So be sure what you're saying, that it is in itself grounded in truth, I think. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Miss Lisa.
Yes. So I've been told on more than one occasion that I have a very strong personality.
No.
Yeah. Shocking, I know. What is your advice, because there is still a bit of a double standard,
yes,
in the professional world, on how to be a strong woman in the workplace without coming across as being a bitch?
Mm-hmm.
Because men are strong, but women are still perceived as...
Yes. Oh, I agree with that. Yes. Look, I'm going back to my mom's advice, which is that fundamentally you have to be who you are. I'm a strong woman as well. And so I always come from, first of all, I make sure that I know the person. And each person, you want to think about your approach. So I'll give you an example. So we have a client that we're working on, and yesterday I had a meeting with them, and it was the CEO. And we're just waiting for people to come. And so, simple thing. He said, what are you guys doing? I said, well, we're trying to take the messages and talking points in all of those 200 documents that you guys prepared. And he said, huh, so you are, I said, yes, I'm trying to take all that corporate gobbledygook speak and actually turn it into English so people can understand what we're saying. Got it. Now, that wasn't too forward, but he was the CEO. And I suspect that most people, the CEO, don't speak to him like, what the heck? Y'all had 200 pages of nothing and nobody could understand. And I said that, but I know him well enough to speak to him that way. The other thing that I would say is helpful, in addition to knowing who your audience is, who you're speaking to, the second thing is figure out, when you are trying to make a point, I can't tell you how many times I hear this, what's your argument, right? So because we are women, I tend to stay away from, I feel that this crisis is going to turn out really bad. Or I think,
I stay away from that, and particularly if I know that somebody, excuse me, I don't know if I can say this, is going to be difficult about it. I go with facts. People can't argue cold, hard facts. They can argue, but facts are the facts. So if I've got a corporation, ooh, I don't know, where are you going to go Christmas shopping?
I'm going to go everywhere. Target. I'm
going to
go to Target.
Let's go Target. Oh, wait. Anybody here from Target? All right. So we're going to go shop at Target, right? Target is in the process of fighting a big discrimination lawsuit. And you've organized women shoppers, and it's a big lawsuit. And so I'm trying to get Target to do the right thing. And I'm trying to say, Target, you don't have enough women in management positions. You don't have any trainee programs. And I think that this is going to be a big problem. I'm not thinking about it. When I come in, I know. And the reason why I know is because I'm laying on the table studies of every single company that got in trouble with discrimination cases. Facts that show that their stock will go down, that they will lose money. Because what person here doesn't care about money? Whether you're a corporation, right? Somebody's going to pay attention to that. I point out facts about how when companies institute these programs, that the company does better, and here's the data to support it. So part of what I'm saying is not only know your audience and who you're communicating with and not being perceived as, you know, a mean person, but also making sure that you're very clear about how you are conveying what your position is. Because somebody can always say, oh, that Jackie, she always comes in here and talks about how she feels about a problem, how she feels we're not doing enough in human resources, how she feels we should be more inclusive. I'm not about feeling. Here's what I'm telling you, that if you don't do this, this is what this is going to look like. So I really try to do fact-based arguments. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Okay, she's pulling me away.
Time is up.
Okay to go here?
I'll give you one. That's a no, we can only take one more. Sorry.
Given what you've just told us.
This is a thing. You know what? Somebody once asked me what is so different about me now in the show. It's like amazing. Like, I have handlers now. It's crazy. Jamie's with me. She's like a body woman. I can't go to the bathroom by myself. I got people. Okay, sorry. Go ahead.
So this may be tying what you started with,
yes,
with what you just ended with.
Yeah.
But the story that really stuck with me was when you were describing your opinion about how the messaging around the Iran-Contra thing. Or, I'm sorry.
Yes, that's right.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And what struck me is you said this to your friend, and then all of a sudden you have attorneys listening to you, and then you have a judge listening to you. And I thought, what is it about her? Because we all have opinions that are based in fact, or we have things that we witness when we're at work, and we can express that, but sometimes people don't hear it.
Yes.
So what is it about the way you express that, or about you, or about your friend, that allowed you to take that step forward and to be heard in a way that many of us may feel like we're not?
You know what? I think I'll tell you what people say, and I'll tell you what I think. I think that you have to find your voice in that. I'm not a big yeller. I'm not a big screamer. If I get to that point, you know you should step out of the way, right? It's just fundamentally not who I am. But I think what comes across when I'm speaking with people is a connection that they trust me. Because when a corporation or individual or someone is in a crisis, you have their life in a lot of ways. I mean, if it's corporation, it's stakeholders, it's shareholders, it's all of those kinds of things. So I think it's trust. I think it has something to do with being non-judgmental. But the main thing I think it has something to do with is, I think I can say this, I'm a non-bullshitter kind of person. I just am. It's I'm pretty much what you see is what you get. I just am. And I'll tell you this one quick thing. When I was working for... Okay, it's going to be my exit.
Just make it real quick.
Okay, so I was working for the president, right? And so you know when... I could talk to y'all forever. So his term was winding down, right? And so everybody was looking for jobs. And I wasn't looking for a job. I just figured that if I'm in it with somebody, I'm in it. I'm like... all in it 100% and then some. So all of a sudden, I would say maybe a month before he was supposed to be out of office, I started to get these calls from, which I thought it was a joke, of course, from like the president of, you know, Microsoft, the president of ABC, the president of Target. I mean, all these CEOs were calling me like in 2 days. I'm thinking somebody is playing a god-awful prank on me because they were all offering me jobs. They said, please feel free to come and talk. We have a spot for you, etc. And I later found out that the president of the United States made calls for 4 people. I was one of those 4. And I went to him afterwards and I said, why did you do that? That was so nice of you. And you know what he said? He said, because you never bullshitted me. He said, it didn't matter to you that I was the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. I still said, you sucked at that speech.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So this is the reason why I have introduced this lady so many times.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
For those of you who know me, know that I am a non-bullshitter. I tell it like it is. I get in trouble sometimes, so I love this.
Thank you.
On behalf of EMC and the 850 women and a few good men that are here, we thank you.
Thank you.
All the ladies in the room, and we invite you back. Thank you. Wait a minute. Judy is going to be signed in her book in the book pavilion, Good Self, Bad Self. I have a copy. And she has to rush out of here. So, no, she can't take a picture with you. But if you want...
Angela!
Yeah, but if you want to talk to her a little more, you can go by the pavilion, buy her book, and she might give you a picture. Right? 12:30. We're taking her there now.
Thank you.
And by the way, Judy.
So thank you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much.
You have to say hi to Michael.